Thanks, Rob. It's a download here on 720 WGN with you till 11 o'clock tonight. It's Monday night, so it's time for Studio 435, our weekly showcase of the best live music Chicago has to offer in our Allstate Showcase studio in beautiful Michigan Avenue. Tonight, the rock sounds of Chicago's Penthouse Suites. Penthouse Suites is a four-piece that's been playing together for 15 years, different lineups here and there. Their last album was called It's Fine, It's Fine, It's Fine. I listened to it all day today. It was great. It takes me right back to the days. But they've just released a brand new album called In the House of the Penthouse Suites. We'll hear some of that tonight live in studio, and you can also hear it at Live Wire Lounge, 3394 North Milwaukee. That'll be on April 29th. They're playing with the Safes, who are here on Studio 435. And the opener is Means of Production. In studio, Andy Hansen, Lou Hallwas, Eric Cheel, and Adam Yaffe. Guys, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, Justin.
All right, so explain the music. I mean, because we're going to hear you guys live, and, you know, I always hate to talk about the music before we hear the music. but you know, I mean, you guys bill yourself and sort of describe yourself as more of a rock band, not sort of this newfangled indie rock that everybody's talking about.
We're just rocky, and it's hard to describe rocky. I don't know. It's indie rocky. We're not anti-indie rocky.
That whole thing sort of just started as like what label you were on, and that was indie rock, and that sort of led you down this road of smaller production budgets, and, you know, maybe folks are recording themselves or they're recording in weird spaces.
I guess you guys are indie rock.
Well, yeah.
We're definitely DIY. You know, we're do it yourself in a lot of ways. We loaded our gear into the. We didn't have rock and roll, but we didn't have rock and roll butlers.
Right, I was looking for roadies.
Michigan
right.
Avenue. Right.
I can now
running 20 yards.
Whoever carried my Marshall in through those revolving doors, thank you.
Yeah, I was going to say I don't know
how to do that.
I can now say I've carried a 24-inch bass drum through a revolving door. I never thought I'd get to have that experience.
You guys got the
thank you 435.
Yeah, you did. You got the 435 experience.
But our sound, actually, the indie rock thing. Our sound, I think it does harken back a little bit more to like 70s. You know, so it's got some punky elements and some I don't know some cool. I would like to think some cool production choices, but the center of our sound is really from the rock. You know, when 70s is what it means to me. But
the time before indie rock existed.
Let me ask you, and Andy, let me bring you in on this conversation because, you know, as you're putting a band together and, you know, different lineups or whatever. But how much of it is sort of okay? This is what we want to sound like. This is my sound. This is what we want to do. And how much of it is a collaboration of bringing all the instruments in or the different musicians in to try and come up with something new?
It wasn't much of a choice.
I was the only guy available 5 years ago when they needed a new drummer.
Yeah, well, we sort of formed in the ashes of the Dorks, which was like a punky thing. And then we were starting to hang out with dudes like Lou Hallwas, who is like a rockin' dude and still a rockin' dude.
Still rockin', man. Rocking.
So, you're talking about guess, like,
rocking horse.
He's right there.
Rocking chair.
No, I know, but so we started incorporating more other stuff, country, a little bit of country.
The thing is, you know, jazz. You don't want to, everyone talks to you when you're in a band that, you know, 9 times out of 10, the first thing they ask you is what kind of music do you play?
Right.
What do you sound like? You
know,
so it's rock and roll. We got there's structure, there's melody, and we got the two guitar attack, and they're weaving together. So, and then Adam coming on board really kind of made the palette a lot larger. We try all kinds of music, but this album sounds very organic to me. It was very happy time to make it. We fairly painless. It was very enjoyable, and it's without one of us there, we wouldn't have this record. So all of our influence kind of come together under Andy's we'll have a song or a structure.
Tutelage,
maybe? I don't know.
Think I'd say
impetus. No.
Tutelage. I don't know.
Impetus. Right, impetus.
So we all have a say in that.
Tutelage.
Andy comes in with a tune
tutelaging
and we're all really big fans of this song. So the song dictates what
Okay.
We do, and there's not a lot of talk about it. We just kind of feel it out.
Yeah,
it
just,
yeah, it's how the different musical dudes are bouncing off each other more than a choice.
I agree.
Going for some sort of sound.
Yeah.
Kind of to answer Justin's question, to my view, it's definitely in terms of you know, what came first, the carriage or the horse. It's like the people you're playing with are going to, unless you're being just really control freak and and stiff and not going to come up with anything good anyway, is the people that you're playing with are going to naturally, that's how you're going to sound. Well, it's going to be the chemistry of the personality.
Well, listening to it's fine all day. I mean, I listened to it 3 or 4 times. What I took from it was this concept that, I mean, the music is very rock and roll. It's kind of got a little Elvis Costello in there. It's got sort of that kind of like more of like a, I guess that you would say a radio station's brand, modern rock, if you will, you know, like not to take from their brand, but this concept that you could go in a lot of different ways. And I ask bands this because you could put more guitar, you could, you know, change your tune, you could change, you know, do alternative chords and things like that. There's a lot of different things you can do to change the sound, but you guys choose to sort of go straight ahead with the music, and really it's lyrics and it's heart, and there's something about it, and it begged the question to me of why you make that choice as opposed to other choices. And I guess it's this existential question for musicians, but why you guys as musicians choose to play this way as a four piece.
I got an answer, and I think it's because we're all really hostile to artifice. I don't think anybody in this group is up for anything artificial in any way, really, when it comes to the tunes. And so it's the kind of thing we like. It should be sitting there in the lizard brain. It should be way back down in there. And, and it should be
instinctual.
Natural.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, I've played in bands that tried to be complex, and the whole point of it was really just to show off how, you know, your musicianship, and like that has its place in the universe. Like, you know, we can put on a Yes record and
remember
be
that lick I did yesterday at practice?
Yeah,
did you like that one?
Yeah, I was like, Lou was doing yesterday at practice all the virtuosity that was just pouring out
it's
of
like
his side of the
six
practice
fingers.
Space.
That's what he said to me. So it's like he has six fingers
between the two hands. Yeah. But
and then Eric held up one in my direction.
But I just, I mean, I think that, like, that carries with it a certain amount of pretension to not be, use that pejoratively. But, like, you have to have a little bit of, pretentiousness to want to go down that road. And I just, you know, to Eric's point, like, that's not really what we're into. You know, we've got over 100 years of combined rock and roll musical experience sitting at this table. And
that's real.
That's code for, like, we're not fresh out of college. Like, you know, let's get signed. Let's go sleep on couches. Like, it's more about, like, the hang and commute, you know, the communion of the guys making the records.
Yeah. It's a men's rights club, basically.
That's it.
We're going to get
the helicopters are descending.
Yeah, we're going to get some very angry.
The SWAT team is on.
I promise I wouldn't go political.
I love it, though, what Adam just said there. I mean, this concept of, you know, this balance between what kind of, when a band gets together, what the goal is. You know, is the goal to go out and try to create a record that, you know, someone's going to get in the next, you know, maybe the next record label looks at it and the next one, and you're moving up this chart to be rock stars on stage at, I don't know, Coachella. You know, like this. Yeah. Or is the ultimate idea here to form a camaraderie, to play great music, but ultimately to have sort of a community that you guys are at the center of?
Yes.
No, I think it's absolutely that. And I think that that community building is how you get longevity. It's how you get these two guys together for 15 years, how you've had Eric in the group for 10. And I've kind of blinked my eyes and I've been in the group 5 years this summer.
Yeah.
So the time just sort of,
it's a long term.
And I just don't think that, like, that thing where it's like, we played to 200 and now we played to 400. Now we played to 800. Now we're going to summer festivals. I don't know that, like, that farm system even exists anymore.
It did. It totally did. But
yeah, but
it's
I mean,
a lot different now.
Gosh.
Do you have to recognize that as musicians? I mean, do you have to recognize that you can't play that way anymore because the music industry's changed?
I think you do. I think what you also have to keep in mind is that there's no upper limit of quality. You know, just because you've written some good songs or you're happy with the record doesn't mean the next one might be worse, but it also might be man, that's a fantastic tune. And not just self-satisfaction, but also, you know, you just never know. You just keep doing it with an eye towards quality. And,
like any,
and
like any art. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. In the studio tonight, the band The Penthouse Suites. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, and we're going to get a sound check and get you guys playing live here in Studio 435. Andy Hansen, Lou Hollis, Eric Cheel, and Adam Yaffe in studio. They are Penthouse Suites. Their new album, In the House of the Penthouse Suites, is out. Livewire Lounge on the 29th here in April with the Safes and Means of Production. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll hear some live music. Stay with us. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman in studio, Chicago's Penthouse Suites. Four-piece, been playing together 15 years or so, different iterations of the band. The latest album, In the House of Penthouse Suites. You'll hear them at the Livewire Lounge in Logan Square on the 29th with the Safes and Means of Productions. Andy Hansen, Lou Hollis, Eric Cheel, and Adam Yaffe in studio. And here they are with the track, Yeah, It's Gone. Take it away, guys. Thank you. They love it on Michigan Avenue, too, right? You guys love it out there? Well, there we go.
No, that's good. One thumbs up for it.
Yeah, thumbs up. There we go. Penthouse Suites in studio, the four-piece. Their latest album is called In the House of the Penthouse Suites. Andy Hansen, Lou Hollis, Eric Cheel, and Adam Yaffe. Come on back to the table, guys. Yeah, so great. That was great. That song was called Yeah, It's Gone. You can find it. Is that one on the new... The new album?
Yes, sir.
That is.
Yes. It was almost the title of the new record as well. And then we went with, like, I don't know, the day before we were going to, like, had to make it official and send it off. It was like, no, how about this? We keep this, like, running list of all the dumb stuff that we say.
Yes, I love that list.
It's brand practice. And we go back to, like, you know, mine some gems out of it. And
where is this list? I don't know that I've seen this list.
Adam's keeping it secret from you.
Is there, like, a secret email?
You're featured and misquoted very heavily on it.
You know, for you guys, we got 2 minutes, and we're going to go get an update from Rob. And I want to ask about band practice. That's on my list of questions. Also, just about construction, right? Of course, the construction of the songs, because, you know, Andy, I want to talk to you about the evolution of your music from the early stuff that you've done and early stuff at Penthouse Suites 15 years ago, even the earlier days of, you know, sort of a different sound. Talk about the evolution of your lyrics, your song structure. You know, what are we hearing from you today that's different than, say, 15 years ago?
Not that much different. It's just extreme self-absorption, navel gazing.
Has it gotten more extreme over time or less?
Darker. It's gotten
darker.
Obtuser?
Darker. A little more. You know, a little more poetic. Maybe
midnight blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm coming out with a book of poetry. I don't know. I shouldn't plug that here. That's for another show.
That's a different one. We'll
that's not really what this is about. Yeah.
I don't know, man, because I named his new book of poetry. It's called This Stuff Again. And it's going to...
Just not as good without the tune.
It makes great
like
posters.
The record, but not as
well.
Good.
Let me ask you guys. I mean, you know, Lou, you've been with Andy for 15 years, and Eric 10, you know, Adam 5. I mean, how has the music evolved for you to what we just heard with Yeah, It's Gone? The stuff even we heard on It's Fine, It's Fine, It's Fine. Talk about what you guys are trying to accomplish with the new record and sort of your evolution.
I got an answer real quick. I feel there's more space in the music, that there's less. Sometimes, you know, like. You'll fill up in a conversation when people are nervous. They fill up every possible second and millisecond with their own blabbing. And when the musical analog to that is people playing and not being confident enough or relaxed enough to let the music kind of expand. And that's where some subtleties can come in. And I feel that it's a little bit less busy, and it's a little less. It doesn't have to be like not. There's some slower tunes on this record, mm-hmm, for instance, mm-hmm, than there have been in the past, and some of them are really effective. And just, you know, not
they're
having to having
dude.
To do it all. They're all effective.
All effective.
So that's kind of my take.
Yeah, I'd say, like, overall, it seems that there's a little bit more patience in getting there. It's not like, let's get to the chorus and then let's play the chorus, double chorus, and then let's end with the double chorus, because that chorus was, like, really good. There's, like, a confidence to not just, like, overplay certain parts of the songs. There's odd things that happens in the songs, and they'll only happen once. It'll only happen for a few bars, and then we just don't go back to it. And I think that's you know, what I find is that people overplay the coolest parts of their songs. Like, you can have a hook, but you can also just shred, you know, that hook and make it
terrible. It's easier. That's what it is. It's easier to actually listen to everybody and not step on, you know, accent things that you hear that are
right.
Like become essential to the song. Everybody knows the saxophone doesn't go over the vocal. And I think that's what I've come to learn in 15 years.
That's what you've learned. That's good.
Listening. Better listen. Actually, better listening. It's better listening.
Go. Yeah, right.
Saxophone would be a goal for us, though.
It'd be a goal for me to leave the group.
Maybe in the second half here, Studio 435.
See if there's someone in Michigan.
Andy Hansen, Lou Alves, Eric Cheel, and Adam Yaffe are Penthouse Suites. Their album, In the House of the Penthouse Suites, is out now. They're playing Livewire Lounge, 3394 North Milwaukee, on the April 29th with the Safes and Means of Production. Thanks, Rob. It's Download here on 720 WGN at Studio 435 time. Our weekly showcase of the best live music Chicago has to offer right here on beautiful Michigan Avenue in our Allstate Showcase studio. Tonight, the sounds of Chicago's Penthouse Suites. Penthouse Suites, the four-piece in studio tonight. Their latest album, In the House of the Penthouse Suites. They are going to be playing at Livewire Lounge, 3394 North Milwaukee on April 29th. Andy Hansen, Lou Hollis, Eric Cheel, and Adam Yaffe are in studio right now, and they're ready to play again here for Studio 435. Here is the song Walk on Water. Take it away, guys.
It was a bad idea. Whose time had come out? Believe in vain. I like your style. Convenience. Oh,
rocking it out. I love it. Penthouse Suites in Studio 435 tonight. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. I love it. Get back to the table, guys. Wow, there we go. Andy Hansen, Lou Hallwiss, Eric Cheel, and Adam Yaffe are Penthouse Suites. Their album just released in the house of the Penthouse Suites. They're going to play at Live Wire Lounge, 3394 North Milwaukee, Logan Square on April 29th, playing with the Safes and Means of Production. All right, guys, let's talk about that. I mean, is that another track from the new record?
That
I haven't
is
heard
indeed.
The record at all.
You know? You do. I guess it's officially out as of this Saturday with the record release show. There's some streams out there online if you know where to look.
Oh yeah, we got to get it streaming.
Send it to you, man.
All right, I just assume that they gave it to you, but
okay. We need to get our machinery on that immediately.
No, but that's a good question about when you guys are recording an album. What's the process? I mean, are you guys going into a studio? I mean, are you the kind of band that gets all the
yeah,
songs all together?
Yeah, we have all the tunes ready beforehand. We had like nine, or did we have another one?
Ten. We did winners. Yeah, we did ten, and we kind of culled it down to the best eight that just sort of organically hung together the best out of that group.
But yeah, like we record. So Adam's an engineer, as you know, and a producer as well, but he can't engineer his kit he can't run the board when he's playing his drums.
Right,
so
right.
For that first day or two of tracking, I think we got it in one day or two. We have another engineer, a buddy of ours, Jake Huppert, actually, and he ran the board, and we just played through the tunes. You know, you might get it on the first take, you might get it on the sixth take, but...
Is that important for you guys, or any band? You guys are musicians, you've been around bands. Is it important to have... your own sort of sound producer, engineer that's in the band that knows exactly what you guys are going for?
Helps. It helps a lot.
Yeah, we haven't had it before, but yeah, it's great. I recommend it.
It certainly cuts the cost of making the record down immensely.
And you're also more intimate with the whole process. And you know the songs inside and out. It's great.
And you can and be a little bit more honest. I mean, if you're going for something and maybe it doesn't happen, if the engineer doesn't know you guys, like, next...
Yeah,
you guys are like, no, let's do it again.
Yeah, he doesn't want to get upset. He wants to still get paid. He wants to keep the, bouncy and light. He doesn't want to get into a heavy situation. And I think when you're at, our level where it's, people aren't approaching us and asking, like, hey, can I produce your next record? I have to produce your next record. Like,
although we have had offers. Don't. Don't minimize.
I don't want to minimize.
The guy
who did the Harry Schmerler Ford commercials asked.
Cars for Kids.
I love
Cars for Kids
great.
Producer. Yeah,
he's great. I don't even know where I was going.
No, but I mean, but the concept of being able to be in charge of your creative process and output from start to finish, and that's something that we'll talk a lot about. The sort of decentralizing and crumbling of the music industry, but that has to be one of the things that has sprouted up that's a positive for musicians. Yes. The idea that you can control your product much more than you could in the past.
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
And that's in that indie. We were talking about indie earlier.
Yeah, right.
That's in full force. It's totally indie.
This was a total pleasure because of Adam's talents behind the board. It's so much better.
Yeah. I don't know that we could have made it any other way as well. I mean, it took us about 2 years to make the record. I don't know that I've worked on a record longer than that. I usually like to just let's get done. But this one, it merited the time and the attention, and it just, because what? We were doing
here, here.
It ourselves. We
when
were
I hear
to...
that, I hear that. When I hear 2 years, what's going through? Because it's nine songs, 10 songs. What takes the most time? What makes a record? Because we just had Big Boy from Outkast on Friday. He said it took 3 years to put his solo record together.
Wow.
and then you think about it. Well, these guys, they're going to studio and they start putting stuff down and the song's ready to go. But he talked about it as well, about the process and the passion that goes into it. What takes so long for you guys to master and put together nine songs?
Jobs.
That annoying thing called
no,
jobs.
But yeah, there you go.
Or you
yeah.
might put a vocal down that, or that you listen to, and a month later you're like, yes, no, it's not. I can do it better. Or I don't like how I sound on that, and you might go cut it again, which is both an advantage and a disadvantage to having kind of open ended. Right.
Like, you want to have sort of like the goal of like, no, guys, we really should put this out. Otherwise, yeah, you could be, you could be Guns N' Roses making the same record for like 15 years. And it's like, it's so overworked and it just, that takes it in a different direction.
How do you keep yourself from that situation? How do you, as a band who has an in-house engineer, keep yourself away from the overworked the we worked on it too long because Adam's here and it's his house and like we can. Yeah. How do you work that?
I don't know.
Whenever Adam gets really pissed, we just then we do that.
That's the end of the session.
Yeah, I guess that did happen a few times.
I mean, there were certainly some points where it's like I would just tell them no. And that would stick for a while. I was like, okay, I get it. And then I'd tell them no, and then they'd be like, come on, just one more. And then, yeah. it works out. I think you pick your spots, and you don't just push for one more single time, because then you're kind of crying wolf, and I'm going to stop believing you and stop doing the extra stuff. But I think, we just did a lot of listening. We keep mixing it. What would sound cool here? That ended up with a lot of new textures. I don't know that you had like synth string parts on previous records or anything like that. There's a lot of layers.
Yeah.
A lot of percussion happening, a lot of vocal layers.
When you get to the rubber ducky though, can we get a rubber ducky on this track too? That's when you're done.
Most studio owners call that like box of percussion and squeakers, they call that one the moneymaker. Because you just show that to the band and you've added like 12 or 15 more billable hours to the session.
Yeah, no,
sorry,
go ahead.
Engineers.
A couple bells in that box. Yeah.
I just blew
you
up
need
your
to
spot.
Check out the sleigh bells.
Feel free, experiment.
We have sleigh bells in three different pitches. Why don't you guys get comfortable?
I'm going to take a quick break. You guys search the box.
Meter's still running? Okay, yeah, I'm going to get
Last question I'll ask you guys, and we'll take a break and we'll get one last track from you. You mentioned the jobs. That's sort of like, and I think about this as artists. I mean, because there's not a lot of artists that we know that can work full time in any discipline. If you're an artist, a musician, a dancer, whatever it might be, there's just not a lot of money in the sense that unless the fine. I always love the actor breakdown where actors in Hollywood, like the SAG, the union will put out what the numbers are. There's like 0.1% making bank.
Yeah.
And everybody else is under the poverty line.
Yeah.
You know, we all think if you're an actor, you must be getting paid. For you guys, how do you think you would approach your art in a different way if you didn't have to support yourself with jobs? Do you think that it would change the way you are as artists, or do you think that you'd be better musicians? Is there any benefit to the fact that, besides money, that would help you artistically if you didn't have to go somewhere else?
That's a fantastic question.
Wow. You have to go somewhere else, it gives you something to think about. It might give you something to write about. It might give you a little bit of friction with the world. And so, I think that if everybody in this band had it up to them, they would definitely be practicing their instrument, several hours a day that they don't have time to do maybe on a regular basis to get to do it on Saturday or something like that. But I think there'd be more practice.
Yeah, I mean, I think that friction is a great thing to call it. Like, you want to have somebody, breathing down your neck at work to, inspire you to, take this job and shove it. Like, that was working for Johnny Paycheck. I don't know that song happens if he's just, like, sipping pina coladas by the pool, like, all day, every
strumming
day.
The guitar, trying different.
Then you write a peaceful, easy feeling, I think. If
Lou, how about you?
You're successful.
It would be almost like being back in college or something, where you have to this part-time job. You go from the full-time, go to part-time, so you do this as if it was like school. You put a lot more time and spend a lot more time with the songs you're writing and recording, and then maybe there'd be a break and you go off on vacation or something. But that would be the ideal, is to be able to spend more time on it. Like riding a bike, you can pick it up, but it's like, working out or something. The more you do it, the more it's just more powerful.
Yeah.
It's more alive.
More subtle.
Yeah. You're not stepping on everything.
The band Penthouse Suites in studio. All right. Why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break? We'll wrap it up. We'll come back and hear one more track from you guys before we let you pack up all your gear. Take it back through the revolving door.
Right.
Here on Michigan
I'm
Avenue.
I'm going to get stuck this time. I know.
Penthouse Suites.
Love that door.
I'm carrying the cymbals this time. I insist.
The album is In the House of Penthouse Suites. They're going to be at the Live Wire Lounge, 3394 North Milwaukee, on April 29th, this Saturday night. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll hear some more music. Stay with us. It's Download here on studio on 720 WGN, Studio 435, our weekly showcase of the best live music Chicago has to offer here in our Allstate Showcase studio on lovely Michigan Avenue. Tonight, Chicago's Penthouse Suites, the four-piece, the new album In the House of the Penthouse Suites. You can hear that at the Livewire Lounge, 3394 North Milwaukee, on the April 29th, Saturday of the Safes. And the means of production are on the bill as well. Andy Hansen, Lou Hollis, Eric Cheel, and Adam Yaffe here ready to play us out. Let's hear a track called Whiskey Wing. Take it away, guys. Penthouse Suites in studio tonight. The new album, In the House of the Penthouse Suites. Andy Hansen, Lou Hollis, Eric Cheel, and Adam Yoffe in studio. You can see him at Livewire Lounge this Saturday with the Safes and Means of Production. They're at